tape projection.
Welcome, welcome to Taking On Sports, everybody. I'm TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing? I'm good.
Yes, how are you doing
tonight? A late Sunday night recording, so we know a little bit more about what's happened today. Still got this TCU, and who the hell they play? Gonzaga. Damn, got it on
Gonzaga.
TV. Gonzaga game going on. So I'm sure we'll talk about that as it happens. We just had Miami finish off Indiana. Indiana looked like they were about to have a comeback at those quick three threes, and then Miami said, nah. But, yeah, we will get to that. Let's start, of course, with the Tide, the SEC regular season and tournament champions. That's new since last time we talked. They didn't breeze through the SEC tournament, but pretty much, I mean, pretty convincing.
Yeah, it's definitely a solid. I mean, I guess the toughest is probably that the first half against Missouri was up and down. Shooting was a little off. But got it together in the second half. Almost kind of like how we did in Columbia. You know, they were really gave us a game in that first half, and we, you know, just took it to them in the second half. Got some shots when we needed it, and then I really like how we came out on Sunday and we really took it to A&M after like what was that, five straight losses before that?
Yeah,
which is kind of weird. But
got a little revenge for that regular season ending loss. Really showed out. Again, second time in 3 years they swept the SEC. That's no small feat.
Regular season and conference.
That's hard to do. Then ended up being the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. First time that's ever true, both being a number one seed in the overall. Beat Texas A&M Corpus Christi in the first round. Pretty easy win, as it should have been, despite Brandon Miller being a little hurt and getting 0 points. Everybody else stepped up. And then just yesterday, they played 8 seed, 9 seed, whatever they were, I can't remember. Maryland, I believe they're the 8 seed, the old Terps, and kind of an ugly first half. Maryland really uglied up that game, but then pouted on the second half. Brandon Miller had a good game despite not being 100%. And then Javon Quinterly, JQ, man, he's the, if we get this JQ the rest of the tournament, look out everybody JQ. Else.
All right. Yeah. JQ was going crazy. It's kind of like how he did in the SEC championship game. You know, he's, like I said, he's kind of an up-and-down guy. You know, he'll have an ugly one, and then he'll really put it on. When he's on, he's on. And he was definitely on yesterday. And then, in addition to that, man, I really like what Bediako did yesterday.
Yes,
heck of a game defensively.
Chuck has been on his hard hat these last few weeks, this last month or so of the season. And then JQ Nate Oates put him back into the starting lineup. And he is really – earned it, and he has showed off why he was a McDonald's All-American and such a big recruit and you know, really big get for Alabama when we got him to transfer from Villanova those years back. And it means something to him. You know, he got hurt, tore his ACL within, like, what, the first 5 minutes of the first game of the tournament against Notre Dame last year.
Oh, yeah. That was the same game last year.
But, and that's I saw something, too. Three straight games, if you're thinking about it, where we were able to put the walk-ins on the court late in the game, and that's the SEC championship game, and then the first two rounds of the tournament. That's pretty good.
Two rounds. That is awesome. And I really liked the crowd yesterday, man. Birmingham
Absolutely.
Really showed up, showed out. It was loud.
Yeah, I know a lot of people a little worried about, you know, Alabama doesn't historically play great in Birmingham for whatever reason, but they did this time. When they move on, they will play San Diego State, the 5 seed, in the Sweet 16 on the other side of their – and then if they win that, they will play the winner of Creighton and Princeton. We'll get to the other teams in the tournament left. Stay on Alabama on the court for now. How do you like their chances? Just with, like I said, with JQ playing like he is, and you mentioned Chuck – they come together and Brandon Miller stays healthy. And even so, not 100% yesterday, he finished like, what, 21 or so?
Yeah, and he, you know, really was hitting some shots. And then he's so dynamic when he drives that
lane.
That's
something he's really improved on over the course of the season.
Oh, yeah. For sure, yeah. You know, he was at the start of the year, he wasn't good at finishing. He was kind of weak. He's really, you know, I guess kind of, I would probably say first part of the SEC play really, you know, got it to, as far as figuring out how to finish at the rim. And yeah, one of the most dynamic finishers in college basketball. And once he hits that lane, he's either going to get it or he's going to the free throw line.
Yeah, with his length, you know, being so long, like he's tall and long, is he's so hard to stop. Like he's not getting – you know, our guards will drive a lot. They're, you know, JQ, Mark Sears, they're not afraid to drive, but their size, you know, they get blocked a lot. Brandon Miller, like you said, he's either scoring or he's getting fouled. Like there's no in-between. Or he, you know, is using his vision and kicking out to someone wide open for a three.
Yeah, because his court vision is, for, you know, freshman, that court vision is top.
Yeah, he's
top
making
notch.
A case. I've seen a couple, you know, NBA scouts talking. He might make a case to even jump ahead of Scoot Henderson for the number two pick.
I saw him at the two. Yeah, I've seen him up to that two in certain things there.
Yeah, so without a doubt, awesome. He is absolutely going to be the first college player off the board in the NBA draft.
Unless,
of course, he comes back for a sophomore. No, I'm just kidding. We wish. But, hell, he may deliver us a national title. So where's your confidence in Alabama right now? Just making it to the Final Four, winning the title?
You know, I mean, I just like where we're at right now. You know, like we said, man, if there's a year to do it, everything's pointing that this is that year. I mean, just the way – not only, you know, just the amount of talent that's there, but, you know, they really seem to be the true definition of a team. You know, no one's selfish. Everybody wants to play for each other. They want to play hard. They want to win. You know, a lot different than that team we saw last year. There was a lot of talent there last year, but things kind of unraveled. A lot of divas, I would say, and, you know, they really didn't have a lot of chemistry. This team has a lot of chemistry. They're hungry. And there's a lot of talent. I think that, you know, I really like our chances. You know, we got a, you know, based upon the seeding, got a little help, as we know, with, you know, as far as the matchups with the likes of Arizona. And we'll talk about that going down. But, you know, I think, like I said, this is our time. We're going to do it. This is the season, I think, as far as making the Final Four. Big thing, San Diego State, a great defensive team. We just can't turn the ball over against them there. But I think as long as we play a clean game, I think we'll have
absolutely
a good chance on Friday night.
You know, that Maryland game last night, you know, started, you know, looked a little rough early. That shooting's cold. But, you know, as Nate Oakes says, you know, your shooting percentage doesn't tell you if you win or not. It just tells you how much you win by. So if they can play that complete game, you know, if the threes aren't falling, but they can still drive, get to the line and still have a half-court offense that works for them. And that's, you know, and play that defense that we were playing so well. You know, and that's what we did. We held Maryland below their season average. You know, we shut down A&M in that title game.
Exactly.
I'm with you. I'm pretty, you know, we've talked about how all season long, this is definitely the best Tide basketball team we've probably ever seen. Top to bottom. So deep.
Top to bottom.
Deep.
And, Nate seems to be a pretty, you know, good coach. You know, it seems like most, you know, at least this year, everybody's bought into what we're doing there. So, you know, just like where we're at right now, you know, I think that they just saw, you know, they've overcome a lot this year. They're, you know, mentally tough team, and I think that they're
That's one thing is that Auburn game toward the end of the season, second to last game of the season, showed us they're not afraid of getting down. Now, granted, you know, you don't want to do that too much this time of year, but
no, definitely don't want to get down double digits in the tournament. But yeah, I mean, this team has had some big comebacks throughout the season. No, they're definitely
Before we get to the rest of the tournament, we'll go off court real quick. We talked about it last episode for a lot longer than I thought we would. But the whole Brandon Miller thing, we knew it would follow him to the tournament. It has calmed down a little bit. Of course, there was some new New York Times piece that alleged that one of the walk-on, Kai Spears, that it was in the car when it got shot up. And his family, which includes his dad, is the athletic director of Marshall. They've come out refuted that. Yeah. The university come out refuted that. Yeah, his family is talking about legal action against the Times, which, you know, basketball players may be public figures, but, you know, then again, maybe not a walk-on guy that no one knows.
Not a walk-on guy. You can't put him in that. Like, that's great. Like, if you don't have a definite answer on that, that's like,
yeah, absolutely.
What are you guys doing?
You know, Blaine texted me earlier this week asking if, you know, maybe I was thinking of writing something on the take for, you know, just all this Brandon Miller nonsense. And mm-hmm. I told him, I was like, man, I'm just so exhausted by it. Yeah. It's just like, it wouldn't be nothing but, you know, 15 paragraphs of me dog cussing a bunch of journalists and, you know, that have, you know, some that are supposed to be, you know, reputed. And they've just, it seems like that first date where that, when that investigation came out and, you know, that AL.com article by, I'm not even going to give her name. You know who she is. If, you know, you know who I'm talking about, their crime reporter. She just put out this clickbait article that was not accurate. And, you know, even later that day on Feinbaum, you know, had to clarify some facts, but the damage was done by then.
Because they, like, the first, then I'm missing, like, Brandon Miller brought his gun.
They made it seem like there was the allegation that it was his gun, that he was the one that said or texted, you know, the heat is in the hat, you know, there's one in the head, which neither of that's true. You know, according to, you know, granted, you know, it's his lawyer's statement, but his statement is that he didn't even know the gun was in the car. It was below, you know, his Miles left it in the back seat under clothes. Yeah.
There's
so, and, I mean, I don't know about you, but people leave things in my car. If they're going to come back later, I don't go messing with them. I don't look under their clothes, but, you know, he got the text message when he was already back on the way to pick him up. You know, he did not answer that, you know, at least not that we've seen reported yet. But then, you know, and then there was a, you know, the accusation that he blocked the car in. Well, that's just not true, again, according to what we've now learned. And if you really want the best, this is really what I was getting to. I want to shout out, I believe, Ryan Phillips is his name, Tuscaloosa Patch. He has done by far the best actual journalism on this story. He broke down, you know, he obtained the camera footage, the video evidence, you know, actually what happened, and broke it down and created a timeline. And you just need to go read it because it really paints a different picture. It even paints one that, you know, maybe the shooter and Miles were, you know, maybe acting in self-defense in this, depending on, you know, what comes out. And then maybe the Tuscaloosa investigators maybe weren't as truthful as they could be on the stand. And as a friend of the take, Greg Dawkins, a public defender, you know, people doing the real good work out here, said online when someone was asking about that, he's like, tell me you're not shocked that, you know, police will lie on the stand. You know, so yeah, you know, not always truthful. Everyone's got an agenda, but I just really want to shout him out because he's done some really great journalism on it. And just, it's really shameful what some of these, you know, a couple of AL.com guys, you know, again, not, I'm not saying their names, but you know who they are. They just continued this crusade to get Brandon Miller where he shouldn't be playing. And again, there's nothing anywhere that says that he's done anything that was worthy of a suspension, like anything, anywhere. So if people just, you know, we'll continue seeing it. And the more Alabama wins, they'll mention it. Maybe someone will shout, you know, Phillips out on a broadcast here, and maybe this will actually, the truth will come out. Either way, but that's all I want to say about that. You know, Blaine, like I said, texted me early this week, and I said, man, I'm just so exhausted by it that I can't, that writing that, it would just literally just be 15 paragraphs of me cussing him. And as you know, we both were in journalism school. We both went there, and there's just, it's lazy journalism that's being put out there. You know, we were always told to get two sources at least, confirm, you know, confirm your sources. And that seems like everyone's just getting their one anonymous source and then report on it now. And that's just, the bullshit nature of the game now with clicks and views, and it's not about quality, it's about quantity, or and then how fast you can get it out.
Yeah, just about the clicks and how much you can get it out, and how shocking of a headline. Mm-hmm.
We've had journalists, you know, ask JQ, like, does he own a gun? Like, he wasn't even that.
Yeah, what was that? It's, like, what is that?
It's
and what does that have to do with anything? If he does,
And not one again. I think I mentioned this last time too, but not one of them has, you know, written a story about gun culture in America and, you know, its effects on youth, particularly, you know, Black youth. It's just not. You can jump on your soapbox and pretend to crusade all you want, but if you're still calling for suspension right now, you're kind of showing yourself.
Like, or honestly, even talking about it every game. Like, if you followed anything, you don't have to be a college basketball fan. You know the story. Like, we know, everybody knows who Brandon Miller is. Everybody knows something about what happened. Like, until we get something new, just talk about Alabama basketball during the game. It's not three times to mention the story. And, you know, the NCAA tournament has done a little better job with it. You know, during the SEC, it seemed like every game of the SEC tournament, and just randomly in the middle of the game, it was just,
here's the timeline of events, like, you know, that kind of mess. And, I noticed they didn't do that yesterday. So, good. So maybe it's finally starting, that kind of bullshit starting to calm down.
At least stand away from it. I mean, it's been enough talk.
Exactly.
About it.
Yeah.
Until we hit, unless there's something new or breaking, or there's no reason to talk about it anymore.
Yeah. So that's just, want to get that piece out there. There you go, Blaine. We properly cussed. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not mentioning their names, but they know who they are. We know who you are, AL.com. It's a shame that AL.com is where most Alabamians get their journalism, their news from, because they are not doing anybody justice. And this one put out, that's one last one thing I want to shout out, because that was the impetus. Blaine sent me a text from, I believe her name, I want to get it right here, look it up real quick, but I believe it's Hannah Stevens, and I think she has a show. Let's see, let me go.
Is Hannah Stevens that?
She has a show, I believe. I'm not sure, but she said, she had a great tweet. Where did it go? I've lost it now. Here it is. It is. Her name is Hannah Stevens. It said, I wish Cecil Hurt was still alive. He would be writing about this situation with much more dignity and class. In a world full of Goodmans, be a Cecil. And she's absolutely right. Cecil Hurt would definitely bring a very nuanced and mature, an introspective view to this, and it's a shame that we lost him.
He was the one of the,
not
one
only
of
for
kind.
That, but it's a shame we lost him before this season.
He would have loved. Yeah, he would have loved.
So, like you said, hopefully they can just talk about on the court stuff. I mean, literally the best team in school history. They've broken the record for wins in a season. Ninth Sweet 16 in school history now, and already.
Two out of three,
and in his four full seasons as a coach now, Nate Oates has made more Sweet 16s than Bruce Pearl has in his nine at Auburn. Just should be noted. But so we'll get back to the on the court stuff. We'll go over the rest of the tournament now. We'll go region by region here. I mentioned in our region, San Diego State is our opponent. I'm not sure what date they have not. I would assume Thursday, but
I think it's really Friday. Okay.
I haven't seen anything officially announced Friday, yet. But, and then the other side, Creighton and Princeton. Princeton, 15 seed, upsetting Arizona, one of the title favorites in the first round, and then going on beating Missouri. And the second there, 15-point win that, they're not running that quite that old school Princeton backdoor offense still, but,
they're much different than, you know, when they beat UCLA back in like 96 and that slow 48 point offense that they ran. they're definitely a talented team. I mean, you got to think Arizona, you know, just won the Pac-12, beat UCLA in the title game. And I was thinking, man, that might be a tough one to get through to the Final Four. You know, Bama's going to make it. But, yeah, Princeton with that just, you know, held on there.
Yeah.
You know, got out to the lead, and, you know, Arizona made a comeback, but able to hold on there. And that's what you love to see in March.
Exactly,
right,
yeah. As much as it busts your bracket up, you know, you kind of feel like your bracket and hope you win, but then you root for the upsets anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah, so Alabama left now with, and, you know, Creighton went through Baylor, and I thought that was a much – I don't like Creighton. You know, we owe them a little revenge from about, what, 10, 12 years ago when we lost to them in the tournament.
We did on the last – it was the last second shot that beat us there. Yeah, and then they busted our head in the NIT game.
I do
a couple years
that,
after that. I went to that game, sadly.
Gonzaga make a little run, open up some space here. Baylor was a team that I was kind of a little worried about. Their guards would really give us trouble, I think. So that Creighton did us a favor there.
And that freshman Keontae George.
So Alabama left with the 5, 6, and 15 seeds in their region. You know, I'm sure if they get out, you know, people, whatever. Hey. That's a tournament.
Division ever.
I've already seen that a bunch of people being like, it's a down year in college. But so what? Everybody's down. So, you know, we stepped up. That's what you do. You got to step up when it's down. Exactly. And Alabama stepped up.
And I wouldn't even necessarily say it's down. I think it's just very balanced.
There's more parity.
You know, some of your blue bloods aren't some of your blue bloods aren't what we weren't up to what they normally are. You know, that happens time to time. There's nothing lost in the tournament. I mean, in March is March. Upsets happen. And, you know, it's just a matter of who answers the call, who steps up when the pressure comes. And, you know, we're still going to have a great, great tournament either way. And it's going to be some memorable games. And if the Blue Bloods didn't make it or, you know, weren't able to get through that, you know, that's not our fault.
Yeah. You only we talk about like strength of schedule in football a lot. You can only beat the teams that are you're playing. So
that are in front of you.
So yeah. Do I hope that Princeton, you know, upsets Creighton and we, you know, beat San Diego State, play Princeton? Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Why not? Exactly. Who wouldn't want that? But either way,
we'll move on to the Midwest. Houston, another, you know, big title favorite. They've cruised through their first rounds. They were down 10 at half to Auburn last night and then just poured it on the second half. Outscored them like
–
outscored them 50-23 in the second half. Just really whooped them. They were going to play Miami. We mentioned Miami beat Indiana earlier today. And the other side of that bracket, 2 and 3 seeds, Xavier and Texas, the 2 seed there. So pretty much chalk in that region. Houston, probably the favorite still, you know, and they're one of the title favorites.
That's definitely tough. Yeah. I mean, you see either four of those teams coming out. I mean, quietly, you know, Xavier for the last, they're actually, you know, a pretty solid team. They don't get a lot of the hype, but, I mean, they're there in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight a lot. So, I mean, they're definitely a well-coached bunch. Miami. When Miami's on, they're scary.
They're ACC regular season champs for a reason. Texas, a supremely talented team. Like you said, any four of those teams can come out and pose a threat in a Final Four. Xavier, can't call them mid-major anymore. They're in the Big East now, even though, you know, Big East isn't what it used to be.
Right.
You know, for years – they're a consistent program. Even back when they're in the Atlantic 10 back in the day.
They still were Sweet 16, Elite Eights a lot. I mean, they've been a good program over the last 20 years. Maybe one of the more consistent programs, and it doesn't necessarily get a lot of hype, but they're definitely a solid program.
Absolutely. Those would be two fun games to watch. Should be really good games in that region. We'll move to the East region now, where 1 seed Purdue. Whew. joined a club that you do not want to join, an exclusive club of only them in Virginia, the only one seeds in NCAA history to lose to the 16 seed. And they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson. And as I told my wife, she was asking about it, I will give you $100 right now if you can tell me where that is. Because I have no idea.
I do know it's
in New Jersey. Is it in New Jersey? All right.
Do know that just because I heard it the other day.
they upset them, and they didn't run them off the court, but Fairleigh Dickinson kind of controlled that game for the most part.
They did control
an undersized, just a bunch of small kids, and just for all the, you know, Purdue's talent and height, and you know, probable player of the year, ED on their team.
Seven four.
Yeah, they cut them down to size, like Rey Mysterio beating. You know, heavyweights.
Kevin yeah, exactly. Harris.
And they lost to 9-seed FAU, Florida Atlantic, in the round of 32. Yeah. FAU will go on to play Tennessee, who beat Duke in Louisiana on their way. And Tennessee, Nate Barfield, friend of the take, said what Tennessee does to the game of college basketball should be, you know, they should be ashamed of themselves. They just ugly it up so much.
Yeah, they do. Like that defense is
Is very nasty. Of course, they, you know, lost his name's escaping me right now.
The point guard.
They lost him for the year. So that's a big loss for them going forward. That's they should beat FAU and get into the Elite Eight there. Where they would.
I would think so.
They would face the winner of Kansas State and Michigan State. Kansas State beat Kentucky. You know, it was a real good game earlier today. The Kentucky team that had gotten hot late in the year, too. And I know a lot of people had them making a run despite their early struggles. But Kansas State's a really good team, too. And then Michigan State is just the one Big Ten team you can honestly count on come this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Izzo is Tom Izzo for a reason.
Yeah. Back to the Sweet 16 for the
millionth
time.
It seems like they just have a permanent standing in the Sweet 16. They might as well get a bye. But they went through USC and then beat 2-seed Marquette today, a team kind of a lot of you know, media darling. A lot of people.
A lot of people were excited about.
Yeah. But they controlled that game. So that it's another good region. Like we said, Tennessee should probably take care of FAU, but it is March. You never know. But I don't know, you know, of those like three teams that – it could be anybody.
Yeah. You know, I was really hoping, though, that Memphis was going to get through because, you know, Memphis, Tennessee had that heated – they've had some heated basketball games in the past there. I would have liked to have seen that, but, you know, FAU, you know, they're a good team there. You know, they ran through the still the Conference USA. You know, some of those men made – what conference it is, but you know, they dominated a good UAB team in that championship game, and I was like, man, they might make some noise because UAB was a decent team.
Yeah, UAB a team could make an argument they got snubbed. That Memphis game, they blew that lead late.
That pass and everything. Yeah, Memphis should have won that game, but you know, Florida Atlantic came through when they needed to, and. Yeah, that'd be interesting to see what happens. Yeah, you would think Tennessee beats them, but, you know, the thing with Tennessee is as ugly as they make a game, sometimes their offense is just as ugly. And if they're not on, like, they could go long spurts without scoring. That's been their downfall and their losses a lot this season. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. They were able to slow Duke down, make it ugly. And
they dominated
Duke. Duke was just frustrated. Another team that, like Kentucky, you know, maybe had the greatest year, but was really hot coming in. They had won like 10 in a row coming in the tournament.
10 in a row and won the ACC tournament, even though ACC was down. I mean, still a good, you know, good run for the new coach there. First coach have ever won the ACC tournament in their first season there. So, you know, big shoes to fill there. But Tennessee, too.
No, yeah, that's another couple of good games should be. We'll move to the West region now. Another one seed that went down. Kansas went down to Arkansas. Arkansas was a good comeback win.
That was a game.
Hell of a game. They will move on to face our nemesis, UConn, our personal nemesis. Never ever liked UConn. But UConn today pulled away from St. Mary's. It was close for a little bit, and they pulled away in the second half. They're another ones. I kind of slept on Arkansas. I think I had them even losing to Illinois first round, which shame on me for picking a Big Ten team. But Arkansas, you know, started off hot, kind of cooled off with SEC play. But they got what's his damn name back? They got that. There's their own star freshman back late in the season, and that's really kind of put them in another gear. So that should be a good game against UConn. UConn team, a lot of people are favoring to kind of make a run themselves.
That'll be a good one, yeah, because, I mean, yesterday Debo took over that game for Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Him and I can't think, wasn't in the fourth. They really were clutching. That's the second half of it with that comeback. I mean, this was a Kansas team, you know, even without Bill Self, like, no one expected them to lose. And the 32, you know, the defending national champs, a team that had not lost a game, went up at halftime all season, up double digits, and Arkansas able to make that comeback. You know, Kansas helped them out a little bit with the missed free throws, but, man, Arkansas showed a lot of heart. And Arkansas is a team, you know, if you're a fan, I mean, my mom's a big Arkansas fan, went there, so it was cool watching the game with her, but, you know, just frustrating for them because they're so talented. But they've had an issue with finishing games a lot this year, and that's been their downfall.
Yeah, but we'll see if maybe they've turned that around. Could make a little run as an 8 seed. The other side of that bracket, 2 seed UCLA, they've handled their business.
They're done what they need to do.
Yeah, played a good game against Northwestern yesterday. They await the winner of this game, currently still going on, Gonzaga and TCU. Gonzaga up 5-7.
On 7
yeah, now. Just now 7.
Couple seconds. Oh, yeah, 7
Timmy just got a rebound with a little under 5 minutes to go here.
He's been there 20 years, I swear.
Yeah. Drew Timmy was a roommate of Adam Morrison.
I swear.
Well, that's a good hustle play right there. Oh, got to finish, though. So, yeah, that could be interesting. TCU can make a run. You know, they could be a little – have themselves a good old football and basketball season, or we could see Gonzaga, UCLA, a good West Coast. Speaking of Adam Morrison, that was one of the better games in tournament history, that UCLA-Gonzaga game. The Bruins pulled it out late, 16 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, and even two years ago.
Oh, that's right,
When Gonzaga – beat him with the half court shot.
That's right. So some history there with those two basketball programs. But
definitely history.
Again, those are either way. Another couple set of good games. You know, we really got, despite losing a couple one seeds and a couple of tournament favorites, there should be a lot of exciting basketball still.
A lot of good teams, a lot of good matchups. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tournament never misses. I mean, no matter who's in it, it's still going to get the numbers. It's still going to get the watches. I mean, you can't miss on the NCAA tournament either way it goes.
No, absolutely not. So you got to give me a little Final Four prediction then.
Final Four prediction. I think Bama. I think UCLA. I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to be a little – people can say, oh, SEC homer. I'm going to go Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go Arkansas.
No, UCLA, Arkansas, same.
UCLA, Bama, Tennessee.
And then you got the Houston, Miami, Xavier, Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to go Texas. Okay. Texas playing some good ball. Yeah, I don't know why I said Arkansas, but yeah, I think Texas is going to win. I mean, they've been really good this last month of the season there. And I would say if I'm Texas, man, give this guy the head coaching job.
Oh, yeah. He's
come in after Chris Beard situation. I mean, he's just, you know, nothing missed. He just, you know, stepped right in there. The team seems really like him. And, I mean, he has Texas – in the Sweet 16 for the first time in a while there. Mm-hmm. So that's saying a lot.
I'm about to say, yeah, and if they don't, somebody will snatch him up. So,
yeah,
he has put on, he's done a great job. Let's see, I guess I still got three of my final four picks when I originally filled it out. So I'll go Alabama, Houston, UConn, mm-hmm. and then in that East region, I think I had Duke. Yeah, I had Duke mm-hmm. over Kentucky, so I will go. You know what, man? It's Kansas State has impressed me, but I don't know, something about Tom Izzo. I'm going to say that Michigan State. Just something about them. You know, they.
Yeah,
he might take advantage of this Michigan opportunity State. Right here.
Exactly.
You know, and that's a team, like, say they face Tennessee. They're not – Michigan State's not afraid to get ugly either, so that's a
– No, they're not. Yeah, they'll definitely get it just as ugly as mm-hmm. – because they don't mind winning a 48-46 game either. Mm-hmm. So.
Not at all. They you want to get in the mud with them, they're perfectly fine doing that.
Yeah.
But so, speaking of brackets, I know mine is – oof, just no – Not good. How's yours doing?
Actually, I didn't do any traveling and all.
Oh no!
I chalk it up to this is our year, so I didn't want to. I didn't want to jinx this anywhere.
I thought about that, and actually, Blaine even said that's why he didn't pick us to win in his. And he is actually tied. I think tied for right at the. He's right up here. In our Taking On Sports group on ESPN, getting up there. But, yeah, mine is just not. I had a couple. It started Friday night when Memphis and Arizona State blew those leads late, and then I just have cratered this weekend. Just nothing going right for me. But
how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's once just, your first – seems like sometimes once that first one goes, mm-hmm. the dominoes right behind them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just snowball effect.
Exactly.
Just goes on and on. I don't know. I'm looking at the group now. I do not know. It's somebody with a, you know, ESPN and a bunch of numbers name that's in the lead for the group right now, 10 points ahead of Blaine. However, this person – has, let's see, only one. Houston is their only pick in the final four left, so that's going to cost them a lot of points there.
That's the key to a lot. That's the key to everything mm-hmm. in tournament, no matter the upsets. If you can keep your final four teams alive, that's the key to the bracket.
Yeah, and they only have four of their Elite Eight teams left, too. So they do have Houston winning the whole thing, but yeah, now they I do think they might
take a little tumble.
Yeah, they're going to take a tumble. I believe I was looking at. See, I think Blaine's in good. Blaine and Jeff, a longtime friend of the take, he is up there, right there with Blaine. Blaine has got, let's see, he's got three of his final four picks. Marquette is gone. And he's got, let's see, five of his Elite Eight teams left. So and he's he got hurt in the Purdue. He had Purdue in the eight. Ooh. Yeah, that'll sticking.
You know, the funniest thing about that Purdue game is Fairleigh Dickinson wasn't even a conference champion. They got there by default because they lost the conference champion, and they couldn't go because of that stupid rule that you have to be in the Division I X amount of years before you can.
Yeah, Merrimack.
Merrimack mm-hmm. is actually the conference champ, which further puts salt in the wound.
Yeah, that's a – oh, yeah. I'd say that should have been us. But, yeah, so we'll see what goes on in the – old tournament challenge here. Those are your leaders right now.
Nice.
I'm still hoping to see if I got, you know, I just need some things to go my way, but yeah, well,
wow.
Yeah, but that's, I believe that's it for the old college game right now. Definitely don't want to talk about my bracket in the women's tournament. Oh man, it was rough.
Man. Talking about the women that just saw that upset come across.
Oh, who was it?
Ole Miss beat Stanford.
Oh.
Ole Miss beat Stanford. And that 1-8 matchup. That's a big one.
That is a big, big. Wow. Yeah, I know on ESPN, you know, you either get a little flame or a little ice cube next to your name if you're, you know, doing really well.
Ice cube everywhere, huh?
Ice cube just everywhere on my women's one. Actually, I think I got it off now, doing a little better. But that was after the first two, like I said, up until – those last two games mm-hmm. Friday night, I had a little flame on my men's bracket, and I had mm-hmm. the ice cube bracket. Just, whew.
Mm.
I actually think I had Stanford in my, oh no, I did not have them in my Final Four. So that don't hurt too much for me. Okay. I still got my Final Four alive, and I went with South Carolina because, yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be smart. Oh, wait, I could make a comeback here. I still got all my Elite Eight teams still alive in the women. Okay.
Look at that.
I might come back here. Just now I say that half of them will lose tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see, is that any other big upsets going on in the women's game here? I think really I've seen anything that was shocking. Had a 12-5 upset to lead over Iowa State. The Princeton women, you know, beat NC State. They got, you know, Utah beat them today. LSU's rolling along. And
they gave them a game though.
Yeah.
They were hanging with Utah for a little bit.
They did. Oh yeah, Florida Gulf Coast made a little they upset Washington State on 12-5.
Nice.
Not quite slam dunk you, but
Right, well, that's the one thing on the men's side, no 12-5 this year at all. That was weird.
Yeah, it really was. We got the big ones instead. But
Got the one, two and a four.
Yeah, and that's the thing about going back to Miami's run too. A lot of people I saw in their bracket, I had Miami winning. I think I had them losing Indiana today, but a lot of people had Drake beating Miami.
Yeah, that was a popular pick.
I think it was the most popular 12-5 I saw. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we will move on from the NCAA tournament. We will move to. Real quickly, we'll go over some NFL news. Free agency has finally started. I'm just looking for some bigger things going on. And see the Cowboys trading for Brandon Cooks. Yeah, that'll solid. Be. That's kind of admitting they made a mistake. Receiver. Yeah, that's kind of a making up for trading away maybe Amari Cooper.
It's great. You know, Brandon Cook is only 29. I guess the amount of teams he's been on, it seems like he's like 35, but he's not that old.
Yeah, he is. not as old as that. Journeyman receiver for sure, but he's still got some gas in the tank.
Numbers.
Yeah. Like you said, consistently solid.
Outside of last year, we only had about 700. He's had quite a few 1,000-yard seasons. So, I like it. You know, good addition to go with CD. And, see where it goes, but not able, able to split some of that salary with the Texans, not giving up too much as far as draft picks, you know, fourth, fifth. So I'd say a solid pickup there. The guy that's, healthy there, I know we were linked with OBJ at times, but, I'm just concerned more with his health, but I like the pickup, and hopefully we'll see where that leads.
Yeah, sure. He's still OBJ's still one of those guys that hasn't quite been signed yet. Just running through this list real quick. The Patriots have picked up Mike Gesicki and Juju Smith-Schuster. Try to get old Mac Jones some weapons. Orlando Brown Jr. going to the Bengals. Try to help that offensive line out.
That's big.
That's huge a big sign. Yeah, I saw that actually. I got that update and kind of cussed a little bit as a.
Yeah,
Ravens fan. I'm like, yeah, that's damn. Didn't want him to go to that. Let's see. The Panthers got Miles Sanders. Saints get Jamal Williams. That might be a sneaky good pickup right there.
The Panthers also got, I thought I saw Adam Thielen went there.
I don't think they've made it official yet, but that is the big word. Yeah, Adam Thielen released by the Vikings will go play for the Panthers now. The Saints, I mentioned Jamal Williams. Of course, their big one, Derek Carr. He is now the quarterback New Orleans. His old team, the Raiders, picked up Jimmy Garoppolo. we'll see how all that goes. Let's see. Commanders got Jacoby Brissett. That's an interesting one there. Let's see. Baker Mayfield to the Bucks, another big one.
He might be the starter down there.
Yeah, I don't know who would.
They have him and Kyle Trask.
Yeah, Trask just beats him out, but that seems like they're signing him. You know, the Cowboys, another trade, they're getting Stephon Gilmore for a fifth-round pick, so that's not too bad at all.
Not too bad.
The Jets are, you know, they signed Alan Lazard, and of course the big rumor is Aaron Rodgers is trying to force a trade to the Jets, but we'll see. I think there's a lot of work to be done there between them and Green Bay.
That's funny. They made it seem that it was so official, and that's kind of you keep on waiting for the final thing. Did they sign? Did they? No,
waiting. Yeah, still just waiting. Another trade: the Giants traded for Darren Waller, one of the better tight ends in the league. Give old Danny Dimes someone to throw to. They did resign.
Devontae is like, why did I come to Las Vegas?
Yeah, exactly. He might force himself out. Trade there. The Raiders did pick up Jacoby Myers to give Devontae some help or replace him, sort of. Let's see. Marcus Davenport to the Vikings, a big edge rusher there. Patrick Peterson to the Steelers, you know, at the tail end of his career. That's a pretty good pickup for them.
Yeah.
Let's see, going through all this list here. Trying to find a big one. The Falcons signed Jesse Bates, big safety. Definitely need some defensive help on that team.
They signed a quarterback too. Who was the quarterback that they got in Atlanta?
It is. Yeah, they did. I'm trying to blanking on that myself. They did sign someone. There's no rhyme or reason to this. They also traded. They got Jonnu Smith from the Patriots for their tight end position. Our boy Daron Payne, Alabama man, got himself paid by Washington.
Yeah, he did.
4-year, $90 million contract. Big one, Jalen Ramsey got traded to the Dolphins. That's a big pickup for the Dolphins right there.
That secondary. Wow, that's a solid secondary.
Yeah. Of course, another big news we haven't touched on yet. The Panthers traded up to get the number one pick from the Bears. They traded DJ Moore, their number nine pick, second round pick, and then a first and second rounder in the future.
And they gave a lot for that first round pick.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Yeah, let's see what they do. But I think they're going to, I don't know, something tells me they're not going to go with the two obvious, you know, the two who you would think. I just don't think they're going to go with either one of those guys. I think they're going to go with that AR-15.
Anthony Richardson first. Oh, man, that'd be something. If they traded all that to pick him or Will Levis, you didn't need to do that.
Hunter just tells me that's what the move is, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. The mocks, most of the mocks I've seen have been picking C.J. Stroud, either way, they're making a move. That NFC South is just wide open, and they're making their move. At least give them credit for that.
I think the Bears came out strong in their move. I mean, they still, you know, they didn't need that pick because, of course, we know they still have their quarterback. I mean, they finally got a number one in DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you won, they still, you know, had that ninth pick. And, I mean, worst case scenario, I mean, just looking at what could happen with the Panthers, I mean, that could be a high pick next year, too, just depending on how their season goes. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Still waiting to see. Some guys out there are still, waiting. Team Dalton Schultz, Bobby Wagner. Let's see, Odell Beckham we mentioned before. You know, Yannick Ngakoue, the edge rusher. You know, Rocky Asin, cornerback. DJ Shark, Jadeveon Clowney, Marcus Peters, Teddy Ballgame, Teddy Bridgewater. There's still some notable free agents out there. And then there's the Ravens, you know, they and this is all just unrestricted free agents, too. The Ravens put the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson, which means that other teams have the right to negotiate with him, and then the Ravens can either match the offer or get two first-round picks from that team, which you would think the Ravens would try to match anything because two first-round picks is just not enough compensation.
No, at all.
And also, I think it's a kind of a chess move by Ravens management to say that, all right, if you think you're worth Deshaun Watson money, go out there and see if someone is willing to pay you for it. And I just don't think.
I just hate how they put, I mean, they're putting him, I understand the business aspect of it all, but you're putting this guy, you know, because, you know, and you have to think just with how the NFL is, the way Lamar has it set up with his mom doing a lot of his business, that, you know, a lot of teams are not taking that seriously. I can see them, you know, blowing that off or, oh, that's just his mom. You know, it's not, you know, if he had an actual, you know, male, you know, agent, I think, you know, we're talking way differently, but a lot of teams seem to have almost come together and say, hey, man, we're not going to give this man his money. It seems like a lot of people that know that they need a Lamar Jackson, just not acting like they're at all interested or saying no to it, which is, you know, kind of ridiculous. But I just
There's definitely kind of a little almost outright, you know, in the open collusion kind of as soon as they announced that non-exclusive tag, like, five or six teams came out and said, oh, we're not going to pursue him. And teams that need, you know, like the Falcons and the Colts, teams that need.
Like, stop it, y'all.
Taylor Heineke, that's who the Falcons picked up.
Which is kind of weird. You think that, I mean, the Commanders don't necessarily have their guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Heineke, I mean, he's a solid, he's had some solid moments. So I just think it's a matter he doesn't have what, maybe what it takes to be the guy, but I mean, he's someone who can step in and patchwork, get some. He's not going to necessarily lose you a game. He's more of a game manager than anything, but yeah, we'll see. But I'd have to think that Atlanta's long term, they really believe in that.
Dez Ritter.
Dez Ritter. And I didn't understand the hype with him last year, but, you know, hopefully it works out for him.
So yeah, we'll see. We'll see if maybe they try to make a move in the draft or do something to pick up a quarterback there. I agree with what you're saying about Lamar, too. Like, there's probably a little bit of that going on. And as a Ravens fan, as a lot of them have said, just pay him. I mean, he's worth it. I mean,
just give the man his money. You see, some of these other guys have gotten some big money, and it's like, dude, he's better than this guy, this guy, this guy.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's getting paid.
So, yeah.
Just how the NFL is. You pay your, you pay the quarterback, whether they're, if they're your number one guy, you're paying them. And there's way worse have gotten paid than Lamar Jackson. Let's just say that. We all know
and
that.
Who have done a lot less. And, then, you know, it's, I mean, we have enough.
Kyler Murray got big money last year.
We've seen the same. Yeah, and Kyler Murray's never, has he even made the playoffs? If he has, they haven't won a game.
Yeah, they got blown out by the Rams last year.
Yeah, it's true. Certainly hasn't, you know, won a unanimous MVP, and then certainly is not. It, you just look at the win-loss, you know, and the difference in offensive production when Lamar plays versus when he doesn't for the Ravens. And I get if maybe the last two seasons injuries give you a little bit of hesitancy, but you have to find a way to meet in the middle somewhere, even if that middle leans more toward him.
Exactly.
And I get not wanting to give that Deshaun. They believe the Deshaun Watson contract is an outlier and won't, you know.
I mean, long-term it probably is.
Right. But you got to find a way to pay him. I mean, do something. I mean, you're in the same cities where Under Armour is based. Work out some huge endorsement deal with them to get him, you know, make up for some of that money. You know, put up a bunch of incentives in there that make him, you know, or – you know, put yourself some like backdoor fail safes that, you know, this money is guaranteed unless, you know, you miss so and so many games.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you do what you can for a guy like Lamar Jackson, like you mentioned, in a league that's so dependent upon your quarterback, you pay him. Look what the Chiefs did. They paid Patrick Mahomes. They
paid Patrick. You see what Patrick's done.
Exactly.
I mean, all the quarterbacks that are worth anything. I mean, Danny Dimes got paid. Not that Danny Dimes is a bad quarterback, but he's not Lamar Jackson. And that man made one playoff. You know? I mean, not, no fault of his own. He's been in a terrible situation at times in New York, but still. I mean, he got paid off one good season. We've not seen Lamar do a lot more than okay. Mm-hmm. Like it's just mind-blowing. And at the end of the day, like we had said before, if another team happens to make that move and gets Lamar and he stays healthy, wins a Super Bowl, who's the dumbest who's the dumbest front office man? DeCosta, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, we talked about last time. If you let go of Lamar and then he goes on to do what everyone thinks he can do, that's your legacy. You're the guy who didn't re-sign Lamar, who traded Lamar, who let Lamar go. Mm-hmm.
Resume.
Yeah, exactly. And other than that, nothing really to talk about. A little buzzer beater for show here. But so Gonzaga is moving on to the Sweet 16, eighth straight.
That might be a bad beat right there.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about it. I wonder what the spread in that game is. Yeah, a little TCU hits a meaningless buzzer beater, cuts it to 3 points. But actually, I'm going to check that real quick now. Let's see that. That would be interesting. I can look up that line real quick. Let's see this game. Oh, it is. Gonzaga was favored by 4.5.
Hilarious.
Oh.
Hilarious.
Oh, no. That went from a 6-point game to a 3-point win. Oh, boom. No.
Wow.
Someone just threw something somewhere.
Oh, man. Especially if that's all you went for on your parlay.
No. Yeah. That just cost someone a parlay. That just cost someone some good money. Oh, Scott Van Pelt's going to have that on his bad beats segment for sure.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah. If you didn't watch play, too, they just, you know, TCU just, you know, they had no chance, really, just rolled the ball forward, and Gonzaga just let it roll over half court. TCU guy picked it up and just chucked it in.
Chucked it through. Good game, though, man. TCU gave him a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. You know, Gonzaga's a, you know, hell of a program. They've never quite gotten over that last hurdle winning the title, but that's, like I said, ninth straight Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's something impressive. Yeah, they always say, oh, they come out of that weak West Coast Conference, but, you know, they're a team
time and time again
of, you know, several Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, Final Fours, just haven't gone over the title. Haven't won the title, you know, they're a team that maybe not necessarily as talented on paper as what they were last year, or, you know, when they lost to Baylor in the national title game. But, you know, their experience, I'm one of the best coaches in college basketball. I mean, I wouldn't want to play them.
No. Yeah. That's it for, that FA. Let's see, random off-court stuff. Chris Beard, you know, mentioned his dismissal from UT, his legal troubles, all those charges were dismissed, and Ole Miss promptly hired him to be their new basketball coach. So we'll see.
Where's the anger with that? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Didn't see much about that, and that's, I know. And the charges were dropped to his, but that, you know, the initial police report is, you know,
wasn't a good one.
Gruesome. Yeah, it's not a good look. Really for Ole Miss, but as Holly Anderson says, you know, from shut down forecast and, you know, old from a million things she's done, but she says these, you know, we always try to find a reason why these teams do it, and they come out and they say, well, we vetted, we did interviews and stuff. She say, let's just call it is what it is. We did it because we can.
Yeah, we did it because we can, and he was a big name, and we're trying to make that splash higher.
Exactly. And Ole Miss really hasn't been relevant in basketball since, what was that, Marshall Henderson?
And that was a fun tournament run when he went on at SEC tournament.
Yeah.
Quite the character.
And always a fun gif, that one of him pissing off Auburn fans.
Oh, yeah. Is that where he jumped?
A fun one.
Is that the one he jumped on the table, right?
Yeah, and you can see the old man stand up, yell at him, and a couple of the students flipping him the finger. They got them so mad. What else? I just saw something else coaching off the court. Oh, Rick Pitino looks like he would be the next St. John's coach.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Classic program there that used to be, you know, part of that old Big East.
Yeah.
Really hasn't, you know, fallen off. One of those teams you always felt like should always be better than they are. They're in New York, you know, a hotbed of talent there. Mm-hmm. And they've, you know, had some periods of success.
It just hasn't been what you would, you know, one part, you know, whether it's a coach in the 80s, Lou Carnesecca, and then, they had some good runs there. Was it? I think Mike Jarvis was the coach when they had like Ron Artest on the team, and had some good seasons there. But yeah, hit and miss in between there. You know, Mike Anderson up and down, but not what St. John's was hoping for. So it'll be interesting. And Patino's, no matter what stuff off the court, I mean, on the court, he wins everywhere he goes. So.
Yeah. So that's probably a good hire for them. Let's see, elsewhere in the world of sports, NBA's rolling on. Nothing really big has happened since we last recorded. This is the less I say about the Pelicans, the better. Just falling off. I mean, I guess maybe the good news is that if they miss the playoffs altogether, they might get two lottery picks now. No, because they have it's a pick swap this year, so they wouldn't even do that. I guess just two chances at getting a high pick. But at this point, you know, you need to step over that line and, you know, not worry about the picks.
Exactly.
You can only amass so much young talent. Did beat Houston tonight, though, after an embarrassing loss to them the other night. So, and still right there. You know, we talk about all this, even as far as they've fallen, they're only half game back of the Lakers for that last play-in spot. Mm-hmm. And even so, they're only two games back of the Mavericks for the sixth seed.
Exactly. So, still a lot of time. Anything can happen at the back end of that Western Conference, for sure.
Exactly. And, you know, as far as, you know, everything's happened there, even looking at that, they're only four games back of Phoenix in the fourth seed. There's a lot of teams in front of them, but that West is just crazy this year. So
wide open, and it's going to be, could very well be way different once we actually get to April.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see what's going on. Let's see. World Baseball Classic. They've had some fun games going on there. See, it looks like the U.S. are into the final. They beat Cuba tonight. You know, it's a hard tournament to get into just because it doesn't have, like, tradition or prestige, but the games look fun as hell, man. Yeah. Those games in Miami in particular.
Oh, yeah. I watched, I guess, more bits and pieces than cats I've watched a whole lot, but what I have, yeah, it's a fun thing.
Yeah, it's something that you wish that maybe more stars would play in, or maybe the Major League Baseball can make a break in the middle of the season around the All-Star break or something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of in a bad spot for a lot of the stars just because, you know, the season's about to start. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be the reason why you weren't playing is because that's where you got hurt at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun tournament.
Yeah. Anything else, world of sports, you want to touch on before we go?
Can't say a whole lot. You know, just I'm really enjoying March Madness so far. It's lived up to the hype. But other than that, I mean, not a whole lot. I guess I would say the one other thing, similar in a sense to that the whole Brandon Miller situation, is with Sean Kemp. You know, they came out and said that he had, involved in a drive-by, originally charged with a drive-by shooting. Ended up being completely different. You know, some people broken his car, took his stuff. He tracked the iPhone and figured out where it was, and then they pulled a gun on him, and he had his own gun, which is fine with me. But a completely different story than what they originally said.
Yeah, and that just speaks to what we talked about earlier, this new era journalism that's about breaking stories first instead of getting them right and then, you know, putting it out. So that's a sad state of affairs for our former, you know, or at least my degree. So with that said, what's been done up real good for you?
You know, just a good spring break week. Took the kids down to Texas, spent some time with my parents. So we had a pretty good week. How about you?
Kind of same thing, just good. We were down in New Orleans for a few days this past week. Wife had to make an appearance for work. Always fun to get back down there. You know, hanging around with some family. You know, dad was in town yesterday to see the grandkid. You know, spending time with. So we saw all the parents this week. You know, my mom, my dad, her parents. In general, just, you know, good to see family and
friends.
Some friends and all that. And, of course, you know, Alabama basketball.
Yes, sir.
March Madness. It's always a great time of year.
5:30 Friday night, Central Time, San Diego State. So before.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did see that earlier. Forgot to mention it. Oh, the bracket refreshed itself when I was watching. Yep. So like you said, a Friday at 5:30 Central Time on TBS. Alabama plays their next game. See, the Friday games will be that game, Houston, Miami, Xavier, Texas, Princeton, Creighton. And then Thursday's games will be, you know, FAU, Tennessee, Kansas State, Michigan State, Arkansas, UConn, and Gonzaga, UCLA. So another great weekend coming up.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you once again for listening, folks. We are taking on sports here. Be sure to listen to everything we got to offer on the Alabama Take podcast and network. Until next time, Greg, take care.
Yes, buddy. Sir.